Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin and former Capital newspaper reporter Chuck Johnson. And Chuck, this week, the Democrat running for the U.S. House, Denise Juno, made headlines when our old colleague and MTN reporter Mike Dennison broke the story that Juno has been introducing her partner to her supporters at Democratic fundraisers, and her partner is a woman.
That's correct, and it happened at a fundraiser down in Bozeman on Saturday night, and Mike got wind of it and asked the Juno campaign, and they confirmed it, and he confirmed it with some of the people that were at the event. The news is, of course, that she is the first candidate for statewide office in Montana history to publicly disclose her sexual orientation as a gay person, and that alone is pretty interesting, but I'm not sure how much effect this will have on anything. There was a nice comment from her opponent, Ryan Zinke. I could read it if you'd like.
Do read it, because I think what he said was very gracious.
Yeah, it was, "Lola and I wish her and her partner all the best. It's important to have somebody strong and loving by your side during campaigns." So he's not making an issue of it. With Democrats, it's clearly not going to be an issue. I kind of think the only people it will hurt Denise Juno with are probably people that wouldn't vote for her anyway, some social conservatives on the Republican side. But we'll see. You know, I don't know. But she's now kind of the first Native American to win statewide office in Montana, and the first lesbian or gay person to run for statewide office, openly lesbian or gay person to run for statewide office. So we shall see. I don't know what effect it'll have.
Well, it's a candidacy of first for sure. And of course, if she was elected, she would only be the second woman to be elected to Congress from Montana, Jeanette Rankin being the first many, many years ago. And Rob, this will help her fundraising, you think?
I do. I think I tend to agree with Chuck, and I think we're maybe going against conventional wisdom a little bit on this, and we see this from Democrats around the state who do seem to be legitimately worried that this is going to maybe be a problem. I agree with Chuck. I tend to think that it won't, for the reason he said. Also, just the public attitudes on this have changed so rapidly in this country, and so I think we're sometimes a little slow to catch up with where public opinion is on this. But I think when it comes to the fundraising, that's a piece of it. And it's more than just fundraising. It's also for her progressive base, something that could just add one more thing to the list of firsts that her candidacy brings. And progressives love to make history. They love to break down barriers. And here's another one. And I think that helps in terms of getting people excited to go out and knock on doors, to cut checks. I think it'll also bring some national attention that could also be helpful in fundraising from across the country.
And Rob, you think the way that this did come out, her coming out, was done in a way that made it seem like it's no big deal?
Yeah, it's a little hard to tell whether this was strategic or not. One gets the impression from some Democrats that this was something of a surprise, which is a little bit of a surprise. This was not a secret in Helena, and this has long been one of the questions about her running for a statewide race. How would she deal with this? And the way she dealt with it, it seemed to me, was in a very understated way. And you certainly can't accuse her of throwing this in people's faces aggressively or something like that. So I think she dealt with it in a way as though it's not that big of a deal and shouldn't necessarily be treated as such, even at the same time while she's not trying to deny it or hide it.
And Chuck, may or may not be a big deal, but it takes courage to be the first anything and to be the first openly gay candidate for Congress from Montana. Takes courage.
Yes, it does. And I think Denise Juno is definitely a person of courage. For that matter, so is Ryan Zinke. I mean, he was a Navy SEAL who fought in wars. But Denise is an unusual candidate in the sense of her background. I mean, growing up in Browning, going to Harvard, I mean, a lot of firsts. And I think she'll attract a lot of interest nationally because of that.
You know, one of the things that strikes me about Juno and the way she's started this campaign and just her life in public service up to this point, there are a lot of these unique firsts. but she doesn't necessarily embrace them in the way that we have seen candidates do on the national stage. She doesn't run as the Native American candidate. And I think in the way that we saw her roll this out, she's not going to run as the gay candidate either. These are obviously parts of who she is, but she has a lot of other strengths to run on, just basic competence and success in the jobs that she's had. And just being personable and connecting with people. And I think she's probably eager to run on some of those traits rather than make some of these firsts as big a deal as some people in the media and some of her progressive base probably would like to.
Rob, a bigger issue for Juno might be how much money her opponent is raising in the race. Ryan Zinke is way, way ahead in fundraising, which is not surprising for an incumbent.
Yeah, that's right. He's raking in a lot of cash. He's also burning through it, though. So in 2015, he raised nearly $3 million, and he spent nearly $2.5 million. Now, just by comparison, the average House incumbent raises and spends a little less than $2 million in an election cycle. So he's already way out in front of those figures and, of course, far outpacing Juno.
And, of course, she wants to make the point, though, that she's getting a lot of in-state donors. And, Chuck, do you think that it makes a difference to voters whether a candidate is getting their donations from out of Montana? Do voters, the average voter, pay attention to that, do you think?
I don't think they do, Sally, even though reporters always do stories saying this candidate
got... We're used
got,
to being ignored.
You know, 80% of his money from out of state or her money from out of state. The reality is to run a statewide race, you almost can't afford to do it by just raising money from Montana. That certainly was the case with, you know, some of our governors like Brian Schweitzer, Steve Bullock, and their predecessors, and senators like John Tester and Steve Daines and Max Baucus. And so when you look at these campaign finance reports, you'll see a lot of money coming from New York, Washington, Virginia, Maryland, L.A., San Francisco, and that's come to be the norm, and I don't know how we can stop it. I mean, I always thought it would be interesting if we could somehow craft a law that would pass legal muster that said you can only raise money in your state, but that's not reality.
Rob, Montanans have also been contributing to the presidential campaigns, and it's interesting to see where those donations so far have been going. And on the Republican side, the leading fundraiser from Montana donations is Ben Carson, whose candidacy is waning as we speak.
Right. Yeah, at first glance, it initially seems surprising, but unlike most of the other candidates, Carson has spent some time here. And in fact, Marco Rubio is close on his heels. He's actually visited Montana, too. So last year, Carson attended a religious meeting in Kalispell that apparently drew 1,000 people. And in 2014, he also was out here campaigning for Steve Daines and Ryan Zinke in Billings. And if you look at where his money is coming from, it's from those two areas primarily. And Rubio, you could also point to him being endorsed by Steve Daines. And these are things that probably for most Montanans escape attention. But among those highly engaged Republicans, Carson and Rubio are more familiar on a personal level than the other candidates, and I think that might be helping them here.
It's interesting that Donald Trump has hardly received any donations from Montana.
Yeah, it is. In some ways, you might think that a Donald Trump type of candidate would play well in Montana, and it's, of course, yet to be seen if Montana will weigh in on this in any significant way, but I think he still could. But he's in a little bit of a different category, too, because he is largely self-funding his campaign. He doesn't rely on campaign donations in the same way that these other candidates do.
Well, on the Democratic side, Chuck, it's no surprise that both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are attracting about the same amount of money from Montana Democrats.
That's right, Sally. Bernie Sanders has about $65,000 and Hillary Clinton about $60,000. Not a great sum, but I think those numbers will increase as the presidential race on the Democratic side continues. And likewise with the Republicans, I think after the New Hampshire primary and maybe some of the ones in the South, I think those Montana numbers will start increasing as Montana political activists from the parties start making their donations to the presidential candidates.
There's so much excitement, Rob, nationally about the presidential race, or I don't know if excitement's the right word, attention. The debates draw millions of viewers and, right. and listeners and so on. Is that going to trickle down, do you think, to excitement on a state level for these local and state races, do you think? Or is it too early to predict that?
Well, yeah, I think it probably helps. I mean, I think the more people are engaged with politics and government in one area, it does tend to have a trickle-down effect, if you will. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see a little bit more engagement and excitement on these things because, you know, once you're clicking around on the internet, looking at what's going on at the presidential race, frequently right under that, you do come across stories about what's going on here at the state level.
Mm-hmm. And of course, many of the issues overlap.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, if the Democratic primary race between Sanders and Clinton remains close, and if the Republican race between, you know, Cruz, Trump, Rubio remains close, it could be, and this is a long shot for sure, but that the Montana presidential primary in June could be meaningful again. The only time that I recall it has been was in 2008 when there was a close race nationally between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And it was very exciting in Montana. Of course, we had both Obama and Clinton appear in Montana, and it'd be nice if we saw that again on both sides.
It would be great fun if some of the candidates would come to Montana again.
Absolutely.
Well, you've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with former Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Sally.